Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. What you're about to hear is entitled The Womb of the New Birth, and it's a message that's been forming in me for a long time, and it continues to form. So I know what you're about to hear is only a portion, and there will be more to come in the future. I believe these truths are some of the most important truths that you can hear about what took place in Jesus when he died on the cross for us, and what took place in us when we were born again. I believe this message is really going to bless you. Enjoy it. The Lord really has been dealing with me about making sure that as I minister, that I direct each and every person to the real teacher, and that's the Holy Spirit. That it's so important that you take whatever you hear and you pray over it and you ask the Holy Ghost to confirm that it's truth. And if it's not truth, to show that, to reveal that, to show you how to just get rid of that other stuff. And I think if we will do that, then it's going to be, we're going to be protected. That's what he's here for, to guide us into all truth. And so I encourage you, you know, whatever you hear, whether I'm saying it or someone else, pray over, ask the Holy Ghost. He's your guide into all truth. Ask him, is this truth? Show me, either confirm it or disprove it through the word. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just thank you this evening. It's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful evening. It's a great opportunity to be in your word. Holy Ghost, thank you so much. Thank you for being our teacher, for guiding us into all truth. We depend on you, Holy Ghost. We expect you, Holy Spirit, to reveal truth to us in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you, we glorify you, we thank you for all that you've accomplished on our behalf. And Father, I believe that the word that you placed in my heart is a life-changing word. And I believe that I'm going to speak it clearly by the Holy Spirit, and that people are going to have ears to hear. Father, I thank you for hungry people. Hungry people, hungry for the word, hungry for the truth, that are finding our website, that are tuning into this live stream, because I believe that their life is going to be affected for eternity. And I just arrest any other powers of darkness that would in any way try to distract, try to bring any confusion of any kind. I arrest you now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for a good evening of teaching in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So since last week, I have taken the time and went back and watched the message that I preached in September of 2012. Then I referred to it last week, and it's called The Door Disappeared. And I'm telling you, just looking at that, watching that video for myself, and I was the one that preached it, just watching it again was so refreshing. And it just took me right back into that moment when the Holy Ghost had revealed this to me, and I had forgotten some things, and it was just such a blessing. And what had happened was, I had just a very short little teaching vision, and you get these things, and they're only maybe a few seconds, but it encapsulates a whole subject matter. And it's almost like it just drops on the inside of you. And I remember whenever that happened, I sat down and started typing and just trying to put understanding to everything that I had seen. And I'm telling you, it was a life-changing event for me. Up until that point, I had received teaching, very, very awesome teaching, about being born again. And with that teaching as the framework, the Holy Ghost was able to bring me into this understanding of a door that the first Adam created and stepped through when he partook of the fruit and broke the commandment that God had given to him. And that door that he created and stepped through, he stepped out of life and he stepped in to death. And I think the best way of saying it is that Adam was the first person that was born again, because he was born again. He was just born from life into death. And if you will allow me to say it this way, I just think for teaching purposes, I believe that this will help you to have a framework for what took place. He'd stepped out of life into death. So if you'll allow me, he was born again. He was born from life into death. And so consequently, his actions, his breaking of the commandment caused that new birth to take place. It was almost like there was a womb and he was birthed into death. And I use that word womb because when we look here in just a few minutes at John chapter 10, you're going to see that Jesus identifies a door. He identifies two doors. And as we look at it, keep in mind what I said here at the beginning, that he, in committing the sin that the first Adam committed, you know, he, in effect, was born again. And, you know, when you think about being born, what do you think of? You think of a womb. You think of a baby in a womb. And so, consequently, let's call that a door. Let's say that he passed through a door into death. He was reborn into spiritual death. And in the vision that I saw, as soon as he passed through that door, it slammed shut and disappeared. And as I said last week, that's merely an illustration. There was not a door that just magically appeared in the garden. It's an illustration. But the principle of this is that once that door disappeared, once he had passed through from life into death, once that happened, there was no going back. And that's the part that I think is so hard for us as human beings to understand. Once he did that, it wasn't like he could erase it. He couldn't go backwards. There was no door to go back through. Well, why? Why not, Mark? Well, in order to answer that, I'm going to have to go back to Genesis, the book of beginnings, and just kind of cover just a little bit about what happened. Now, I'm just going to jump right into once the sin took place and what God said after the sin took place, particularly to Adam. And then to Adam, and this is in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. And men, that doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to your wife. But that's a joke. And has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Why do I read that? Well, once he partook of that, once he passed through that door into spiritual death, once he was born again, spiritually dead, it wasn't just him that was affected by this. It was the whole earth that was affected. Spiritual death wasn't just in the person. I mean, did you read what I was, or hear what I was reading there? It affected the earth. It affected everything. And so consequently, the earth fell under the curse. So here, let's just say that we're standing in the position of God looking at this situation, okay? And here's what we see. We see our man, Adam, and he has just been born again into spiritual death. And not only that, but everything in this earth that had been created perfect in every way is now subject to the curse. So let's see. If I was in God's position, what would I think? Well, let's just start all over again. Okay? Well, what are we going to do? Go down and try to make another man from the earth? The earth is now under the curse. Can't do that. We're not going to end up with anything good from trying to do that. So what are we going to do? Just discard everything? Well, I thank God he didn't do that, because we wouldn't be here. But what he had to do was somehow bring into this earth from without, from on the outside. It's almost like you get a picture of a fishbowl. Here you got the little fish inside. They're all immersed in water. They have no idea they're in the water. This is their world. Well, that's the same way with us. Here we are. We were born into this spiritual death, into a world that's cursed. We don't know any different. And here's God having to figure out, okay, I need to get into this world someone to redeem my people, someone to redeem my children. Let's see. Who could we use? Well, he didn't leave it to an angel. He didn't leave it to anybody else. He sent Jesus, his son, into the earth. And I just thank God that Jesus came into this earth. And I'm thinking right now, let's go to John, the first chapter. We're going to be looking here for this evening at trying to understand a little bit more about the door that disappeared. So in John chapter 1, I had John in here just a few minutes ago. John chapter 1, this is how it reads. In the beginning, see, now here we are. We were in Genesis a minute ago. Now here we are in John talking about that same time. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word stood equal with God. The Word is God. The Word was God. So you had God the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. The triune Godhead. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In this verse right here, what we see is what was necessary, what we had lost, what Adam had lost in the garden was what? The life. Spiritual death filled him. There was nothing in this atmosphere that had the life of God. The life of God had to come from the outside of this fishbowl into the inside. And how is it going to come? How could God just say, okay, Jesus, jump down, go down there, and just boom, right there on the earth. There you are. Now there's life. Life is in the earth. Was that going to do it? No, that wasn't going to do it. It was impossible for God to just come into this atmosphere and bring life and get that life into us by just suddenly appearing here and saying, okay, everyone, here's life. Here's the life that you need. See, that wasn't going to work. It just simply wouldn't work that way. And so consequently, the life had to come in here somehow. Somehow, we have to get life into the earth. Well, that's what we're looking at right here, John chapter 1. In Him. In who? In Jesus, on this earth, born a baby in a manger. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He was born into a world that was completely dark with spiritual death. Completely, totally. Every person was spiritually dead, and the earth itself was under the curse. Until here comes Jesus. And now, there's one person. Can you just imagine what that had to look like in the spirit? All around, complete, in the realm of the spirit, total death everywhere, and here was one light. One. And that light was the Son of God, Jesus. So let's go here. This is the next scripture we want to look at, and that's going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read in verse 21. For since by man came death, that man, first man Adam, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Right? Why that verse is so important. It couldn't come through any other way except through a man. Because, you see, a man was the one that lost it. The first Adam lost it. He was the one that committed the sin. So, our redemption, everything that we needed had to come through a man. And that man was Jesus. And he came here sinless, perfect in every way. The Son of God came into this earth. But he wasn't just Son of God. He was Son of Man. Think about that. Son of Man. Not just Son of God, but Son of Man. And I took the time, you know, whenever I was going through this originally, and looked up how many times Jesus identified himself as the Son of Man. And it was approximately 86 times. How many times did he identify himself as Son of God? Oh, approximately a dozen was all. There was such an emphasis that from him to us, for us to realize that he came to this earth as a Son of Man. Not just Son of God, but Son of Man. Well, why was that? Because in order for us to be redeemed, a man had to do it. I think about that, and it's just, I'm in awe of the fact that a man did it. But not just any man. The Son of God did it. Who was the Son of Man, who was the Son of God. He did it for us. And don't you know? See, about a year ago, I started teaching along these lines of the fact that He's the Son of God, but we are sons of God. We're sons of God. I mean, that I can't get past it. I have to turn here and read this in Romans chapter 8. It's I mean, it's too good. It's just too good that the God who created everything, the God who created everything, when you're born again, He becomes your Father. He becomes your Father. And let me find this here in Romans chapter 8. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I mean, that word, Abba, Father, is one of the most intimate forms of that word. He's not just God. He's your Father. He's our Father. You can say it and say it over and over, and it hardly gets into us, our mind. How can that be? How can the God that created everything, how could He now be our Father? It's because we have been born again. You see, Adam, he sinned. And in that sin, he experienced a rebirth from death, or from life into death. He was reborn. He went through a womb, if you will, with that sin, and was reborn into death. But when we receive Jesus, when we identify with Jesus, when we say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, I give you my life, I receive what you did in my place. When you do that and you're born again, what happens to you is you're born from out of death into life. Isn't that awesome? That is, it's too good. It's just too good. And He did it all for us. He did it all. He hung on that cross. He paid the price for our sin. And He died. And then He rose again from the dead. We got to see that verse. It's in Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Looking at a few scriptures here tonight. Kind of working our way into the understanding of this door that disappeared and this door that reappeared. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. You see, He died. He did. It wasn't just that it wasn't like part dead. He died for us. He died. Spiritual death entered into Him. He went into the belly of the earth, into hell itself, and suffered on our behalf until the price was paid on our behalf in full. See, back there in Genesis, when God said to Adam, back here in chapter 2, in verse 16, this is the commandment. This is what God told to Adam. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Do you see that in your Bible? It says, thou shalt surely die. Now, we know that had he just dropped dead at that moment, we wouldn't be here. So death entered into him. The instant that he partook of it, death entered into him. And subsequently, after 900 years, this physical body of Adam's, it did die itself. And he returned to the dust. That's what God told him. You're going to return to the dust. And that's what happened to him. He returned to the dust. But that commandment that God gave to him, that commandment was that you'll die. And so here we are with this dilemma. The dilemma is the sentence of death is upon every single person born into this earth. The sentence of death. So what do we do? What are we going to do? The sentence of death, we are condemned to death. And it's because of that action right there. Every person that comes through the loins of Adam is sentenced to this death. So here comes Jesus. Jesus came into this earth, the Son of Man. Now, very interesting that in the Hebrew, when you look in the Old Testament, you'll find the Son of Man mentioned there. You can see it in the Psalms. You just get a concordance and you can look up the terminology, Son of Man. What you'll find there is, particularly like in the Psalms, I think it's Psalm 8, talks about the Son of Man. And it's talking about Jesus, okay? So, that word man, there's different words that's used to in the Hebrew for man, but that word right there, you'll never guess what that word is. It's Adam. Adam. The word man is Adam. So here in Hebrew, or excuse me, in Psalms, where it talks about the Son of Man and it's talking about Jesus, what is it saying? It's saying the Son of Adam. How about that? The Son of Adam. See, when Jesus identifies himself as the Son of Man, he's identifying himself. I am a son of Adam. I'm a son of Adam. Praise God he did that. Because since he did that, we can identify ourselves in him as our representative on that cross. If he had just been Son of God on this earth, we could have never identified with him. But since he identified himself, no, I'm a son of that first Adam. I'm a son of Adam. And like I said, he did it 86 times. Do you think he was making a point? I'm son of Adam. I am your representative. I am going to go to that cross. I am going to die in your place. And how could it have been in our place? Because he had no sin. He never committed sin. He never did anything wrong. He was born into this world, as we saw in John chapter 1, with the life of God inside of him. And he proceeded through all the years that he lived on this earth, never to commit sin, never to transgress in any way. And so consequently, he went to that cross and he suffered in our place, and he took the punishment of a person that had sinned, even though he had never sinned. And that was the whole thing right there. That was what enabled God to raise him from the dead, because he never did sin but suffered as if he had sinned, because he accepted our sin as an innocent man. And that was what was necessary for him to be raised from the dead, for our price to be paid, because that death sentence had to be carried out. And I thank God. We can't thank God enough. I'm telling you what, we cannot thank God enough. Our death sentence has been paid. And who was it paid by? It was paid by his son. In heaven, the word was tri-equal with all of the members of the Godhead. And he came into this world. He was born of the Virgin Mary. And came to this earth, the Son of God, the Son of God. Now, this brings us to our starting point for the lesson about the door that disappeared and the door that he became. So now we're going to turn to John 10. And I know when you teach this way, where you're teaching this line upon line way, it's so important that each time that we come into this with the right understanding. What are we looking at here? What are we trying to understand here? What we're trying to understand is, what did Jesus do for us? Because when we can understand what he did for us, oh my goodness, it changes everything. It changes everything. So let's look here. John 10. This is where we were at last week. I can't get by without reading this one scripture. Let me read this one. And you go to John 10. I'm just going to read 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And this is so good for us to understand this. He is a new creature, a new species of being. I mean, if you allow me to say it that way, a new species, something that didn't exist before. We're not, and I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. Jesus didn't come here to just redecorate that old house. You know how you spruce it up, you put a little paint on the walls, and okay, now that's good. You're acceptable now. No, it was impossible for anyone born of that first Adam to ever become acceptable. It was impossible. The only answer for a person born through that first Adam was death. There had to be death. And we died when we accepted Jesus as Lord. We died that death. That death that God told Adam in the garden, you're going to die. The consequences of breaking the commandment of partaking that fruit is death. It's death. So that sentence of death that was on us individually, when we identified ourselves in Jesus, the Son of Adam, when we identified ourselves in Him, we entered into that death, the death of the cross, and our payment was made in full. I could just get up here and run all around this place and dance. I am so excited. Right at this moment, I am so excited I can't hardly stand myself. That is just so good. We're not the same people. That old Mark that used to live in this body, he died the death on that cross in Jesus. Oh, praise God. He needed killing. That guy was bad. But before you make Jesus the Lord of your life, when that spiritually dead human spirit, it's bad. It needs to die. And when you accept Jesus and make Him Lord, you die that death of the cross, and you're identifying in Him, and He died in your place, and you are stepping right into that, and you're receiving that, and that old man dies. But it doesn't stop there. Thank God. We can just stop and thank God for that. If it ended there, then we would be in a mess still. There had to be a door that we walk through into life. Because that's what Adam had, the first Adam, in the garden. He had that life. He had that life. I just marvel at that first Adam. When God leaned over and he blew, is what the Word of God says, but in actuality what he did was he leaned over and he released into this this the body that he had formed of the dust of the earth, he released life. The life that originated inside of him, he released into that body, and that became a living soul. And Adam drew his first breath and was looking directly into the face of God, who was his Father. His Father. His Father. He was looking into God's face. And there were, did he have any apprehension? Did he cower back? No. He didn't do any of that. Did he have to, did God have to enroll him in any kind of school to educate him? No, he didn't. Why not? Because he wasn't born, now get this, because this is so crucial. He wasn't born. He was created. And that's a huge difference. He wasn't born. He was created. God created that first Adam. He released his life into him. That first Adam drew his breath. And he was a perfect specimen in every way. He had the intellect. He had the righteousness. He had the nature of his Father. He knew what was right. He had understanding that would enable him to name all the animals. What kind of understanding are we talking about? That he had the capacity. I mean, just think of just the animals on your street. And I mean, you know, just the handful. He didn't have just those, he had all of them, and he had the capacity to name every one of them. That's what that first Adam had. And then he lost it all. Lost it all. So when we are born again, when we pass through that door, that womb, and are born again, what have we become? That's the question. That's the question. That's what we got to have answers to. What? Dear Lord, show us. Oh, Jesus. Show us who we've become. Because I'm going to tell you something. When the Holy Ghost is getting this over to me, I am so confident. When that revelation of who we are now, when it goes off inside of us, there's nothing that's going to stop us. Nothing. Nothing. Knowing. You see, the thing is, we are this person already. We're born this way. It would be like, let me give you an illustration or an example. It would be like, let's say the, you know, there's royalty now, and you know there's royalty in England, okay. And there's a new child, new baby. And that new baby is going to be king someday. And it's not like it has to work to do anything. Do you get that? It's not going to have to lift a finger in order to be that, because he is that. He is that. He was born. He was born that way. What have we been born? We have been born sons of God. We've been born sons of God. That's who we are on the inside. If you could open us up and look at us, our spirit man has been born again. A son of God. Glory to God. Now here's what has to happen. We have to have that revelation of what it means to be a son of God. Because when we have that, when we have that, we can walk as the Son of God walked on this earth. We can see the results that the Son of God, who was the prototype on this earth, to show us, look, Watch me. I'm the prototype. See me. Because I'm going to leave here. And he even told us. He said, the works that I do, what did he say? You'll do those also. And not only that, but greater works than these shall you do. Why? Because I go to my Father. You see, the prototype, Jesus, the Son of God on the earth, the Son of God, told us, if you watch me, if you watch, you'll see what a Son of God is supposed to be like in this earth. And then I'm going to leave, and the new birth will be available. You can receive, you can be born again, a Son of God, and then you can have the same results that the prototype had when he walked this earth. That's what Jesus told us. He told us that. Now you say, Mark, I'm looking at you, and I don't see it. Why don't I see it, Mark? Why don't I see it? All I can say is, I am on a path of discovering who I have been born as a Son of God. I am on a path, and I'm telling you what, I'm not going to give up until that revelation is living and breathing in me, till the reality of that has come from the inside to the out, and I'm watching and I'm seeing the miracles happening. Because that's what Mark chapter 16, that's what it's all about. When Jesus gave us the Great Commission, he gave it to who? People who were going to become sons of God. And he said, he was basically saying, look, you're going to be sons of God. This is what sons of God does. This is what they do right here. This is what you should expect, okay? So Mark 16, I want to see. What should I expect? Verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every one of us. Every one of us who are sons of God, born again, children of God, we're preachers. We're preachers. That's what it says. Go preach the gospel. Mark, I don't really feel qualified. Well, the only reason why we don't feel qualified, and I'll tell you the truth, for the longest time, and I'm a preacher, I didn't feel qualified to do this. Why is that? It's because I just simply didn't know who I had been born again to be. That's it. Once you get that understanding inside, once you get that revelation, being a preacher is not hard. And I'm not saying that you're called to a fivefold ministry. I'm saying that you have that responsibility to share Jesus with people, to be an ambassador of the gospel. And that's what we need to do. To who? To our neighbors, to our coworkers, to those people that live in our neighborhood, across the street. Those are the people that we need to be reaching. Well, Like I said, Mark, I don't feel qualified. Well, the only reason why we don't feel qualified is because we just don't know. We don't know who we are. We don't know who we've been born to be. So, read it again. Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. Did it say maybe? No. Can you believe? That's the question. These signs will follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. they shall lay hands. You shall just, you'll lay hands on the sick. You see it there? And what does it say? And they might recover. Does it say that in your Bible? It doesn't say that in mine. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall recover. It's not if, it's not maybe. It's they shall recover. When you lay your hands on somebody and you pray for them to be made whole, expect it. Expect it. You say, well, I did that 100 times and 100 times they died. You keep laying your hands on and you keep expecting the miracles to happen. And in addition to that, continue to cultivate this revelation of being the Son of God that you are. How do you do that, Mark? You take the Word of God and you put it inside of you. And you pray in tongues. You read it. You pray in tongues and you worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that I'm a son of God. I thank you, Jesus, that you died in my place. I thank you, Jesus. I am born again a son of God. You worship the Lord. You thank Him. Speak those words out of your mouth. Say it. Say it. So I can just, right then, I could see somebody, and they're sitting there and they're struggling. I can't say that. You can say it because the Word says this is who you are. But I don't feel that way. Well, it's not about how you feel. It's about what the Word, it's about believing what the Word of God says. This is who you are. Well, show me this is who I am. Okay. We got to go back to John 10 for that. We've got just a little bit more time left, and we'll finish up here in John 10. I have a feeling that it's going to take time repeating these verses, these scriptures, and eventually it will begin to settle in on the inside of you what took place, what He did, and who you are. So here we are in John 10. And then this, I'm telling you, this John 10, rich. It is so rich. And it took me a while to get the understanding of this. And once I did, I'm telling you, good stuff. John 10, verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now we're going to stop there. I want to make sure that we don't get confused on the doors here. Got to make sure that you understand the doors and what's being said here. That in John 10 verses 1 and 2, the door he's talking about here in verses 1 and 2 is the door that Jesus came through the womb of Mary, into this world. You see, it was impossible for a Savior to be born from spiritually dead people without the intervention of God. God intervened. And the picture that I had as I said that was when the children of Israel in the book of Joshua, when they are beginning to go across the Jordan, and they sent the priest in with the Ark of the Covenant, and the waters parted and they opened up. And it said that they went all the way back. And do you know the name of the city that they went back to? Adam. All the way back to the city of Adam. It was a picture. So much of the Old Testament is just a picture of the New Testament. What that represented was that Jordan represented all of humanity, all of spiritually dead humanity, and that Ark of the Covenant represented the introduction of Jesus into this world, and that water stopping, and they walked through on dry ground, was interruption of spiritual dead humanity on its way to hell, and it interrupted it, and here comes Jesus into the earth. And what happened? It created a pathway for mankind to go. And where did they go? They went into the promised land. What is that promised land indicative of? That promised land is us going into the family of God. It's the new birth. It's us passing from spiritual death into life. We are coming into this new family of God as sons of God. And that's what that picture reminded me of. So here we are back in John 10, and here we have this door, and this door that he's talking about here in verse 2 is the womb of Mary, in which Jesus came through, the Son of God, without sin, into this earth. That's that door right there. Now let's go on and read verse 3. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He leads them out. Verse 4. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So here we have the good shepherd. He's going before his sheep, and he's leading them. What did it say? Look at that last word. It says in verse 3, last word, he leads them out. He leads them out. That's such an important word. We're going to see that in the next few verses. He leads them out. So here he goes before them. He calls them by name. They hear his voice and they follow him. They follow him out of spiritual death. So let's think about this. He comes through a door into humanity, and that door is the womb of Mary. So he comes in as the good shepherd, and the good shepherd is going to lead his sheep out. Out of what? He's going to lead his sheep out of spiritual death. And he calls his sheep by name. They hear him. They know his voice. They follow him. They follow him how or what? Out of spiritual death. So let's go on here. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So let's stop there. This isn't the same door that's talked about in verse 2. Verse 2 is the door that Jesus entered into humanity, the womb of Mary. Then we see the good shepherd leading his sheep out. Now, if you go out, what do you go out? You go out a door. He's leading them out. But now we see in verse 7 that he says, now he identifies the door that he's leading them out of. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, I am the door of the sheep. Now, I don't know about you, but it's pretty hard to go out something that you are, don't you think? He's leading his sheep out, but then he's saying, okay, the door that I'm leading them out of, I'm that door. Now, you talk about a puzzle. That's a very difficult puzzle to figure out. But nonetheless, he is the door. And so here we have the door of the womb of Mary, in which he passes through into humanity. And now he's saying, and I want you to get this. I think the Holy Ghost wants us all to get this. The door that he says, I am, is another womb. And it is the womb that we pass through to get to spiritual life. The door that disappeared in the garden was a womb that produced a spiritually dead man. He went through a rebirth from life to death. And now we see a door that Jesus said, I am the door that you're going to pass through. And I'm going to be the first one to go through it. And I'm going to pass through this door, and my sheep are going to follow me, and I am that door. How was he that door? Because he hung on that tree, and he became the door. Because he became spiritual death, and then he died the death of the cross in our place. That's how he became our door that we passed through. He never committed sin, thank God. He never committed it, but he became it. He became sin. That's the only way that he could become the door, was because he became our sin. And then it's going back here. What does it say that he did? That it said in verse, that he did in verse 4, and he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goes before them. He goes before them. He became the door, and he himself had to pass through it. Isn't that amazing? So he hung on that cross. He became the door, and then he passed through it, and we followed him. We followed him. And so consequently, I'm getting the sign that we're almost out of time. Consequently, we are born again. We follow him from death into life, and we're born sons of God. I sure hope that this is starting to settle into you, who we have become, because this is so powerful. And I believe as we go into this in weeks to come, and we really get hold of this, I'm excited. I'm so excited because it's life-changing. I believe that we're going to enter in to a higher walk, a higher understanding, a closer relationship with our Father, and that we will begin to see the miracles that Jesus told us that we were going to have. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share this word. It's so exciting. Oh, it's so exciting. And I believe, Father, that it is settling in on the people and that they are changing as I am changing. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for revealing truth to us. We're so excited. So excited about where this is taking us. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. I sure would like if you could invite somebody to this broadcast and just, you know, tell somebody about it. I really believe that it's life-changing. I really believe that the truth that we're sharing here is something that is going to affect their life for eternity. Amen? All right, well, we will see you here next Thursday night. Be blessed.
Hi, this is Mark. That concludes our message. I certainly hope that it blessed you. For more information about our ministry, please write to us at Mark Jenkins Ministries, P.O. Box 701138, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74170. Or you can contact us via the internet at www.markjenkinsministries.org. Just look for the contact page. Thank you and be blessed.